Hi, and welcome to the Lesbian Love Podcast, where we will delve into the world of lesbian love and reveal the secrets to overcome the frustrations of dating and relationships, navigate lesbian culture, discuss sex topics, woohoo, you heard that right, and how to move to conscious loving and more. Hey everybody, I just wanted to let you know that we had a couple technical difficulties while recording this on Zoom. I apologize, I was unable to get this edited because I wanted to get this to you as quickly as possible. There's two places in here where we got disconnected on Zoom, but we resumed right up, so keep listening until the end and enjoy this interview with amazing Kyla Coogan.
Let's do it.
Woohoo! Welcome, everybody. I am so excited. This is the Lesbian Love Podcast, and I have my guest, Kyla. Her full name is Kyla Coogan. Could that be any more Irish? Anyway, I'm really excited to have Kyla here because she is super cool. I first met Kyla at a place in Encinitas called Eve. Is it still called Eve?
Yes, it is.
In the back room. Oh yeah, the back room. It's a community room. And she was facilitating a super cool mastermind for the Greatness Collective, which is a really cool organization that does amazing work, including to help build homes in Mexico and things like that. Did I get that right?
Yes.
And the mastermind was phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. I met some amazing people. So we've kept in touch on social media, and Kyla is doing so many amazing things that I wanted her to have her on the show and give her an opportunity to share her wisdom and what she's up to with all of you. So thanks for joining. All right, so Kyla is a mindset and fitness coach. You can see how fit she is. And she helps leaders live a liberated life. We all want that, right? And she helps those who are feeling oppressed in their sexuality, gender, or identity expression to help them live a liberated life through mindfulness and fitness. She does one-on-one group, one-on-one coaching, and group coaching programs. She wants to be known as just Kyla. And I think it's a great thing. We're gonna spell it for you. It's C-U-Y-L-A. She has also founded the queer leader community. She has a free Facebook page, a LinkedIn group, a monthly mastermind. And it's really about kind of solving our identity issues, individual and collective challenges we have in the community. And we were talking the other day about the LGBTQ plus, you know, all these different names we have, and maybe there's an opportunity to have kind of one name that encompasses them all. And we will talk about that. She also has this cool thing called the Purpose-Driven Party. We're about purpose, we're about passion, we're about fun. And it's a high vibe community for social impact where she brings together humans passionate about social impact. And this is once a month on a free party call. She has a live DJ and facilitates breakout sessions to share resources and to network with each other. So what a great thing that you came up with. I absolutely love it. The next party-driven or purpose-driven party is Thursday, this Thursday. Yes. So I'm gonna get this podcast out there, and I will be attaching a link to the description of this particular episode so you can get in on that. And then also I'll attach some of her social media links so you can connect with Kyla, because I'm sure you'd want to. So a couple things I'm really interested in about you, and that is, how did you get into coaching? And you know, how has that impacted your clients?
Yes, thank you for this amazing intro, Pamela. I am excited to be here. And that is a great question. So I would say my whole life growing up, I was the high achiever, the striving for straight A's, the scholar athlete, like on a mission to do great things in the world. Didn't really know where I was going with all of that. Got my degree in kinesiology and fitness, nutrition, and health at San Diego State. And then I went to grad school and got a master's degree in sport management. So I was combining my passion for fitness and sports and business all into one. And I ended up working in nonprofits for about 7 years, working with youth serving organizations. And something still felt really off when I was doing the work. Mm. And what felt off was that I knew that I had this bigger purpose and that I was meant to be an entrepreneur, but I had no idea what I was going to do as an entrepreneur. I literally used to tell my coworkers at Outdoor Outreach, just so you know, at some point I'm going to have to leave here because I'm going to be an entrepreneur, but I have no idea what that is.
Cool. I love that. Yeah. You know, yeah. So many people are like, oh, you know, how do you become an entrepreneur? It's exactly that. You feel like there's something else you need to do, right?
Yeah. And my dad's a business owner. My mom is, my sister. So it's in the family.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it was just something that I just knew intuitively was the next step for me. So what really happened is I was on a journey for 8 years, you know, when I was working at nonprofits, and I was struggling with anxiety, severe anxiety. And I was trying to find an answer to the anxiety. And eventually I hired a coach. And he took me through a 3-day experience, and that literally changed the trajectory of my life. Like that weekend is when I had my, like, what I call my coming home moment. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I had to teach that for the rest of my life. So, like, no joke, within a few weeks, I left my other job full time and was like, I'm going to go full in. And like, I got to find a way to teach this because like it literally changed my life.
That is the definition of courage, I would say. Yeah, so it was like an epiphany experience.
Yes, an aha moment. Like I describe what happened as, I feel like I was seeking a feeling of safety. I was seeking a feeling of just being safe in my body. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what happened with him is I finally took a huge breath of air and I felt like I could relax. Oh. And the feeling was like I literally dropped into a warm jacuzzi and also went up in an elevator at the same time. So it was like, up high, chilling in a jacuzzi, like, whoa, what just happened? Okay, yeah, this is like unreal. I'm like, I don't, at the time, honestly, I was like, what just happened? I had to take like some time to process. Yeah, but I knew that it was weird. It was like simultaneously, I knew my calling.
So powerful that you got it from this coach, a 3-day experience, and then wham, wake up, right? That's great. Uh-huh. Now, I know we had spoken about coming out stories and stuff. So would you be willing to share with us your hero's journey, if you will?
Yeah. So I was noticing girls in school when I was in third grade.
Oh, I have to ask you this because you are Irish, right?
Yeah.
Also Catholic, by the way. Yeah. Guilty also. I'm feeling you. Go on. Third grade girls. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I don't necessarily identify with Catholic, but my dad's side is, and my mom's side's Jewish. And I feel like I actually was confused about my faith my whole life. And so it's funny you say that, because that my aha moment of the jacuzzi was also me like having my spiritual awakening and realizing I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. So that's a whole other topic we can explore more. But in terms of my coming out, it was third grade when I started noticing girls, but it was also at that time when I was sexually abused by my third grade teacher. And I actually did not remember that happened until last year. So like I was hanging out with a friend at the beach, and then all of a sudden the memory came through, and it's been something I've been processing for the last year, actually going through investigation with the police department in Huntington Beach. And so for me, I've actually had to step back and look at, wow, I was sexually abused in third grade. And at that time I was confused about my gender and my sexuality. I asked my mom to cut my hair short like a boy when I was in third grade. And then I started noticing the girls in the locker room and sleepovers. Like, I'm like, this is weird. I'm having these feelings. I also had an attraction to boys still then too, but I started noticing the girls. And then I hid those feelings for 14 years of my life. My brother ended up coming out in high school. He's 3 years younger than me. So he came out in high school, and I knew then, but I still didn't have the courage to come out because he was getting bullied. He was getting followed home from school. he almost attempted suicide in our kitchen.
Oh yeah.
So I kept it in all the way until I was 23 years old. I waited until after college to tell my mom.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, people wait a lot longer than that. I was in my 40s when I came out to my family. Now I was out in my life, but I was so afraid. So what was it other than your brother being bullied? Was there a fear that your parents wouldn't accept you, or was it really about you just didn't want to kind of come to this? Like once you say it, then it's real. What was that about for you?
That's such a good question. I feel like I cared more about what my friends thought, to be honest, because my parents were very accepting.
Good.
And so, yeah, but I think I overanalyzed all of it. I was in a relationship with a guy in college for 3.5 years and we had mutual friends. So my concern was like, I was going to lose friends from it. Mm-hmm. Obviously the judgment of like people judging me for that. I mean, there were already people in college that were like rumors were going around that I was, even though I hadn't said anything. Mm-hmm. So people were talking about it. And I think ultimately it's like to be that in public is terrifying, right? Like once I admit it, to actually hold a girl's hand and kiss a girl and like hug her like in public, I think there was a lot of those thoughts of like, oh my gosh, once I admit this, like that's what's going to happen.
Right.
So it was what I've realized is that because I was stifling that expression, right? Like not speaking my truth for that long, then it just became, well, now I don't even know how to say it or when to say it. Right. It was like the stifling of the expression is just like, where do I even start? Who do I tell first? You know? And then it was frustration. It was like self-sabotage. Why am I waiting? Why am I waiting? Why am I waiting when I know, you know? I also think that it was that I also was still attracted to boys. So it was confusing because I'm like, I still feel attracted, but like sexually way more to women. It's like a 90-10. Mm-hmm. So I think it was also trying to figure out like, want to put this label on it. And then what does that mean? So yeah, just a lot of thinking about it.
Yeah. I think that the programming that we get early on is this is what we're supposed to be like. Yes. This is who we're supposed to be attracted to. So it's hard to kind of give that up because then you're like, I think the way it is we want to be part of the tribe. And yeah. Once we admit we're different, then we're afraid the tribe will push us out or won't accept us. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of dealing with, I really am into this new tribe, but my old tribe, what am I going to do without them? They've been the ones that have been there for me. It's yeah. Never easy. And you know, a lot of people say it's so much easier today. And while it is, and there is more acceptance, then why are people still having difficulty coming out? Mm-hmm. It's because fear of being rejected or not loved or thrown out of their house, which as we know, many gay kids are. And there's such a huge homeless problem in LA and big cities where kids are going to find their way through. So some parents just can't accept it. And it takes them a long time for them to accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was reminded by a friend recently that, you know, that we, you and I beat the statistic, you know, because when I look at
more like, about that,
well, when I look at the Trevor Project and the studies that they're doing on LGBTQ youth, which is what you're pointing to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're showing that LGBTQ youth are 5 times as likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers. So if you think about just you and I, like,
oh, yes,
we're still alive. Like we're still here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're still here. You know, we're here and we're choosing to speak our truth and help other people who are going through the same experience that we went through. Right. And for me, I mean, it was already a challenge to step into like my sexuality fully and then to create a business, you know, that where every single day you're coming out with explaining. Yeah, like not only owning your sexuality, but that you're actually helping people with that. And you know, sex and sexuality is such an awkward, uncomfortable topic for most humans, right? So then it's that other layer of having the courage to talk about something that's not normalized, which I'm fired up about lately. It seems the universe is like, Kyla, go normalize conversations about sexuality, because what I continue to see is that as humans, it is natural, right? To be attracted to someone of the same sex, same gender, like that's normal. That is. And I'm so passionate about it that I ask people all the time now, all my friends, guy friends who are straight, heterosexual, and I look at them and I'm like, you're going to tell me you've never had a thought about someone of the same sex, never in your whole life, never had the thought. And literally every time they'll admit, I have had thoughts about someone of the same sex. They maybe not have acted on it, but they have the thoughts of it. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm striving for a world where it is normal, right? And you walk into any room and it's not even a question of like, who's the lesbian here? Who's the gay one? It's like, we all are, right? Like we all are, right?
You know, I believed that too. And I have two sisters. I'm the youngest of three girls. And my sisters and I do like big birthdays together and go to a spa somewhere, just really have fun. And we were sitting there in the hot tub and I was saying, So, you know, you must have had like an attraction to a woman sometime in your life. And they're both really open people. And both my sisters said, no, never, never really thought it. I was like, really? Because I believe that most people have had the thought or yeah. have at least had an attraction, even if they didn't act on it.
Yeah.
I believe my sisters were being honest with me. So maybe they're kind of just they're an outlier. But what I wanted to say is, you know, the statistics say about 10% of the population is gay. I don't know if that's right, but that's what we've heard. Mm-hmm. I'm also left-handed, and they say 10% of the population is left-handed. So I've been trained to believe that, you know, there's something wrong with me being left-handed. I had nuns mm-hmm. that used to try to move the pen into my other hand, and my mother said, don't you ever do that. Let her write with whatever hand she wants to. And my middle sister is also left-handed. So I feel that there's been some, not just stigma, but the world is created for right-handed people. And also that comes with the territory of being gay too, and or queer, as we want to call it. And when you talk about sexuality, I have a book called Petals, which is about photographs of the lesbian anatomy between our legs, you know, and it was a photographer whose wife was ashamed of her pussy. And he said, it's beautiful. Yeah. And so he started photographing. I don't know if there's 100 photographs in there. And I went to an exhibition years back in San Diego and the photographs were on the wall and I bought the book and it's intriguing. I mean, it's called Petals because he said they're beautiful flowers. I also have a book somewhere. I think it's in my bedroom. It's called The Pussy Revolution. And you know, when I was younger, I couldn't even say that word. Now I love to say it, you know, because I love pussy and I think it's a beautiful thing. And it's in so many ways. Right. So, okay. So yeah, you and I are a lot alike in that we have overcome that whole thing. Stigma to the point of wanting to do something drastic. Now, you mentioned that you had anxiety before. Did you, because the way I know you is you're super positive and happy, and that's how I am. I've thought about suicide, but I never, ever gave it serious consideration. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's certain kinds of people or what, but I do know that you had the anxiety and you also went through a divorce. So did you ever, you know, was that really tough for you? And can you speak a little more to that?
Yes. Woo. So I struggled with suicidal ideation multiple times throughout my life because the anxiety was literally so high. And the thought that I kept having was that I was going to be in this cycle of anxiety for the rest of my life.
Oh.
I started to believe that. It was every day I would wake up and it was just, that's all I was feeling all day long. And
that's really tough.
Yeah. And I was just literally on a mission to find an answer to it. And what I realized was that it was tied to a lot of the trauma that I've been through. And it was tied to me hiding my truth. So what I was doing was when it was at a heightened state, every time I was in public with people, with my friends, like if I was at a restaurant, we're watching sports, they had no idea, but the entire time I am trying to control my breath. I'm in an extreme state of anxiety, having a panic attack. And multiple times I'm running to the bathroom to do breath work to try and get myself to calm down. And they had no idea.
Was there an incident that spurred this on the first time you had it?
Yeah. So I would say on and off my whole life, I had anxiety. I didn't really know what it was, like what I was struggling with. Hmm. But it hit me when I was in grad school. And one day I went to my brother's, he was working at a coffee shop, and I went to have a cup of coffee and I had this like burning feeling in my belly, and I freaked out in my mind and I thought it was a heart attack because I had like pain in my chest.
Wow.
And I was on the verge of passing out, and my friends called an ambulance. I went to the hospital and they did a bunch of tests, and basically I was just having a severe panic attack, but I thought it was a heart attack, which is common for people.
Yes.
It feels like that. Mm-hmm. And, so yeah, it started then in grad school when the panic attacks then just started coming. I was in panic attacks every day for years. It was just constant, like all day long. So yeah, it was like this mission. Come on, like we got to find an answer. So what you see now with me, like joyful and happy, I did a lot of work to figure out my way out. And that's why once I worked with my coach and then I integrated what he taught me, and then I went through some other leadership courses, subconscious mind certifications, like the more and more I transformed my mind, I realized, oh my gosh, like I just healed myself. Like I haven't taken an anxiety pill in like 3 years. And the experiences that I've had where I've had like schizophrenic symptoms, PTSD, all these things the doctors have diagnosed. But what was really happening was I was having a spiritual awakening. So I was having like mass spiritual awakening, like seeing spirits, like understanding my past lives, like understanding how our experience works. And I was being told that I'm crazy in the hospital. And I'm like, yeah, like you're talking to spirits, you're hearing voices. I'm like, yeah. And I have friends in the conscious community that could help support me through it, you know, but I don't need to be going on and on about this, but I realized that, you know, obviously we can heal ourselves, and that even something like the severe anxiety that I was diagnosed with, I was able to find my way out. I healed my inner child, essentially, right? And now like my inner child is just like full out, like this like joyful, excited, passionate being, but this was stifled for a very long time.
Wow. Now you mentioned breath, how, you know, you had to run to the restroom and stuff. So was breath work part of the healing that you did?
Yeah. So when I was having severe anxiety and going in the bathroom and doing all that, it actually didn't help. And that was frustrating. Was like, it was temporary for a few seconds, but I was still in the cycle. So what transformed my mind and my body was what my coach taught me was understanding my mind. So that was the first step, was like, okay, I have a better understanding of my mind, period. So then I understood where my experience was coming from. And then second was when I got my subconscious mind certification, I basically cleared my subconscious mind of all the childhood trauma. And the way that I did it was pretty crazy, but I kind of got creative. And I went to my elementary, my middle school, and my high school. And I physically went to the campus. And I literally stood in front of the classroom where I was sexually abused by my teacher. And I stood there and I sat there and I allowed myself to cry and bring up the memory. And I basically took myself through a meditation, visualization, breath work to move the energy out of my nervous system. So I literally like was like, I'm not leaving this campus until I don't feel the tension in my belly anymore. And I just breathe out. And it actually wasn't anything painful. It was just like, I felt tension in my belly and then I breathed until I literally felt that energy release. So breath work has completely changed my life. I also had acne for 17 years and I've tried everything. And breath work is what literally has been clearing my skin. Like I'm mind blown even in the last 3 months of what has happened to my skin.
Wow, that's wonderful. I love breath work, meditation, all those things. And what's really interesting about what you're saying is that ability to feel through all of your feelings. What do we typically do when we feel something painful? We push it down. We don't want to face it. We want it to go away. Yeah. And what happens is it stays there. It gets stuck, literally stuck in our bodies, and it's going to haunt us forever. I'm sure as a coach, one of the things you help your clients do is get through it, not, you know, go jump over it, but actually to go through it, through the cave. Joseph Campbell says something about all of your questions, you know, all of your questions can be answered by going in the cave, something like that. And so you've got some great techniques that you use with your clients. Is there anything in particular you'd like to share other than the breath work?
Yeah, well, what I would say that was so transformative for me in healing that like trauma and inner child, because I think it's really intimidating for people. It was terrifying for me. Like I was scared to go in the cave, as you say, right? Like, I don't want to think about these memories and these old thoughts. Like, I don't want to go in there, right? But one of my coaches, she said something that resonated with me. And I noticed that my biggest fear was dying too soon. So the anxiety was like me feeling like I was going to die too soon and I wasn't going to achieve my dream. So every day it was like, I might not be here. I might not be here. I might not be here. Where do I go? When I die, where do I go? Mm-hmm. So it was a fear of dying too soon and then wanting to understand what's next. And I have a lot I can share there, but I basically asked the universe to understand death. And that's what took me through a very crazy, dark path. But I know that going through that, now I can help my clients on a whole other level because I understand it. But when I work with my clients, I'm very gentle. And I have found a way to make it simple and gentle so that it's not terrifying.
Oh, that's wonderful. People need that and they need to know it. I love that. So you help them in a non-terrifying way get through all their shit.
Yeah. And one powerful way is, I mean, my coach, when I was telling my coach, I was having this fear of death, right? And she walked me through this really powerful meditation. And it was this reminder that whatever fears we're having, we can face them in a meditation, in a lying.
Whoops, I just lost the last few things you were saying. I'm not sure why. Can you hear me? I still can't hear you.
You hear me okay?
Now I can. So coach.
Yeah. So
it must be my connection. That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, no worries. So she just reminded me that whatever fears we're having, right? They're thoughts, right? And so I can face those fears in a meditation so that they don't actually manifest in the real world, right? I think like we have the worry that the thing's going to happen. So the best thing we can do is like actually do a meditation and visualization and do it in peace, in quiet, right? And allow ourselves to see that and like move through it. And then it doesn't actually manifest in the real world. And I think that obviously some people still have fear of like even seeing it, like sitting and seeing it. Mm-hmm. But I would much rather sit and be able to visualize and work through that in a meditation, a visualization, breath work, than it actually happened.
Yeah, I know that fear, the biggest thing about fear is we're afraid of things that have already happened. So they're not happening right now, but we think that they are, or fear of something that has not yet happened. Again, if we live in the present moment, it's all good. The present is all good, right?
Yes.
Now, is there anything else you want to say about that? Or can you address this question of going through a divorce? Because I've been through two.
Yes, let's do it. Busy. Yeah. Oh, divorce.
Yeah.
Well, divorce became the biggest like transformation of my life. That's when I met my coach and I had my awakening, my aha, oh my gosh, coming home moment. So when it first happened, it was one of the darkest times of my life. And I didn't know what I was going to do because I literally built my ex-wife, I built her entire brand and she was a professional athlete. And so I had done a lot of work to like elevate her and I lost myself in the process. And I actually didn't realize that I have this big mission and purpose on this planet. So when we separated, I had to move into my sister's friend's house, and I was in a city I had never lived in, and I felt super alone. And I hated being alone. Like, I hated being alone. Like, just being with my thoughts was like terrifying. So it was like this challenge the universe gave me of like being with yourself in a whole other city, having to like figure out your finances and figure out your purpose, like starting all over, right? And what I say happened for me is like, it was a path of self-destruction. Like, I was beating myself up, like frustrated. What did I do wrong? What did I do something wrong in this? Like, you know, questioning things, right? And then like self-sabotaging myself. So it was this self-destructive period, but then it turned into a path of self-discovery. So it was like self-destruction to self-discovery. And I literally like found myself in the process. And then that's when I like left the job, and like while it was happening, divorce, like left the job, started an entrepreneurship, like building communities. Like, I was just kind of like all in on transformation.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. You know, a lot of people after a divorce, they're down in the dumps for a long time, and they don't do the work to get themselves ready for the next relationship. Mm-hmm. And some of us feel like, oh, we failed, you know, we're losers. I came from a family where everyone stayed married to their first partner, my parents included, my sisters, and I felt like there was something wrong with me. But I think that there's a lot of coaches that say, look, love can be for a reason, a season, and the reason is you just needed to grow with that person, and I needed to grow with my partners. But what I was able to do is find the gifts in what we got together, what we gave each other, and that was huge, and come to a place of real forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah, that was huge for me. Yeah, yeah. We can transform when a relationship ends. We don't have to look at it as a failure. I look at it as a success. It's just, it ended, but it was still successful.
Yes. Yeah. Big time. Massive gifts. And a lot of my clients come to me actually going through breakups or divorce. Like, it's very, very common that I think that it's the most beautiful time for people to find the love within themselves, because they were in the relationship for love. And it's this like, it's the illusion that we can get trapped in, that once I have the relationship, then I'll be happy, and then I'll feel love. And then when I get the car, then I'll be happy. You know, when I get the house. But like, when you go through a breakup or divorce, it's like the universe is like, find that love within you, and then everything else is going to come together.
Right. For sure. I'm there with you. Now, we had talked about the word queer when we spoke before setting this up. And I was telling you that when I was growing up, there were only two words. It was, well, there were some bad words, but it was gay and lesbian, and there were no other words attached to it, but we were called lots of nasty names too. And now today we've got all these different acronyms, and now we have the different terms that people are using, the pronouns, and it's becoming confusing for a lot of people, but there's a reason for that. So can you address your feelings around using the word, substituting all that with the word queer?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I love this question. And I was talking to somebody earlier about this, that I'm now in a place of wanting to just see simplicity in the community, because we all need simple, like, period. To understand things, we need simple, right?
Yeah.
So I've just been more curious, not coming from a judgmental place, but more like curious about, as a community, as an LGBTQ plus community, what are we really trying to achieve right now globally? Are we trying to achieve, you know, educating everybody on all acronyms, hoping that everybody's going to understand it? Or are we moving more in a direction of simplifying all the letters to something like queer, right? And then that is more the umbrella term that we understand that more embodies that, like, sexuality or gender, but basically anybody who doesn't necessarily identify as straight or heterosexual would identify more in that queer bucket. That's just kind of more fluid. It's also more describing your unapologetic you, just being yourself, right? And so that's what I'm starting to see is like, what if we simplified the acronyms to queer? And then eventually the hope is that there's not even really a need for labels because we just see each other as like who we are. And we don't have to go, that's the lesbian in the room, that's the gay one in the room. Like, you know, it's just, it just is, you know? And I know we were talking earlier about like, it's fascinating, like what you were sharing about your sister and how right now the way she sees it is not being, she's never had these thoughts, right? About someone of the same sex. And spiritually what I'm seeing is like, as we ascend consciously, we become more open. We just become more open-minded, period. Mm-hmm. Like I would say before my kind of spiritual awakening, I was like, I'm a lesbian, you know, like, yeah, like put a stamp on it, you know? And then even in the last 2 years, it's been like, wait a minute, I still have thoughts about men. And like, if something happened at some point in my life and I felt an attraction, why would I say no to that? Because the way I see life is an experience, period. Mm. So like, even like your sister right now might say, I've never had these thoughts, but like, what if one day she's like, you know what? I want to experience what it would be like to be with a woman just because I can, just because it's an experience of life.
I mean, who knows? Yes, absolutely. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's interesting you would say that. And I know a lot of women don't like the thought of not a lot. There are some women who don't like the thought of being with someone who's bisexual, right? And we were all bisexual if we had a relationship with men in the beginning. So just we may not be acting our bisexuality now. We may have one way or another. And I believe in the fluidity of it. I really do. Mm-hmm. I've had thoughts about men, but right now, you know, I'm pretty much strictly call myself a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that word was really hard for me to say. So the word queer, if we think about it, look it up in the dictionary, it means different. And some people think weird. The word gay, however, which I really like because it means happy. I don't know if the entire spectrum of ages would accept the word queer, and how do we get them to say queer is really positive? It's a really good word right now for us to encompass all of this fluidity. Is there any thoughts you've had on that? Did you freeze? You froze. Oh no. I'm waiting for you to come back. Okay, I thought.
Ah, we're back. Can you
hear me? Yeah, I can now. You froze and I thought you were thinking about the question and then you were really frozen. You know, internet's so crazy. I got really this extra ultra high speed and so did a friend of mine. And we both said that, look, it's not always working. So, okay. So yeah. We are still recording. So did you hear what the question was? How do we get people who feel like queer is not a positive word, like the word gay is? How do we get them to embrace that through all the ages of our community?
Yeah, wow, what a question, huh?
I mean, I have friends who still can't say lesbian. They they just think it's an evil word or something. They'd rather call themselves gay. And I really fully embrace the word lesbian, but it did take me a while. So maybe it's just a matter of time or a matter of getting out there and explaining it. So how would you do that?
Yeah, I love this because I think at the end of the day, right, what happens is that when we choose the word, we somewhat as humans feel like we got put in a box, right? And I have certainly felt that with all of these words, even queer. I've questioned for the last year and a half, like, is this the word that I should use? Like, is this what we should all be using to simplify, right? Like, what is the easiest path forward? And I think that at the end of the day, if I see queer, okay, if I see it as basically someone who is being their unapologetic self, period. Mm-hmm. Like if I just see it as that, right? They're just literally, they're being themselves to be queer. And that means that sexually or gender-wise, they might identify as something other than how they were born or how somebody might've labeled them, but they get to choose however they want to have their experience of life is basically queer. It's like, I'm going to live whatever life I want to live, without, in a way it's kind of like, yeah, just, I just want to be me. I just want to be all of me. And that's how I'm starting to see it. But I think that ultimately, I think to have these difficult conversations is to not tell somebody that something is a certain way, like trying to give them advice, but more so being curious about it. Mm-hmm. Right. So when I'm talking about sexuality, like instead of telling somebody like, well, I think we're all queer, you know, like it's not necessarily like I'm saying I see fluidity as normal, right? I see that as just the normal experience. I just get curious about how other people see it. And again, if I like to ask, like, have you ever had these thoughts about someone of the same sex, you know, like to just have them thinking about their own experience and what they've thought and what they've felt. And usually when I approach it from that perspective of like just being really curious about how they're seeing it, I think that then they have their own perspective on it. And it's coming from less of a judgmental place, but more of that, you know, trying to understand each other, you know, because I don't want to put on them a certain label that they have to then like own, because I think that that's how it should be. It's more like, let's just get curious about this. Like, what do you think queer is? And this is how I see it. And like, how does that feel for you? And like, this is how it feels for me. And like, you know, just like playful, open dialogue about it.
Well, that's a great way to look at it. And I think that takes off the idea of we're being attacked or pigeonholed or anything like that, or that we're forced into anything. But it would be nice if, like you said, if one day we just all look at each other as fellow humans. I do this spiritual work, it's called the word work. And there's a thing that you say, I am love through the one in front of me. I am love through the people, through the people before me. That's how I am love. I am in love through my fellows, my fellow man, my fellow woman.
Yeah, that's so good. And as you say that, you know, what I've been so inspired by lately, Pamela, is having these conversations, not just with people who identify in the LGBT community, but bringing everyone together into one community where we're talking about this and it's not a separate conversation. Right. So like, that's where my head's going right now is like, I'm working on launching a Facebook group that's called essentially like the Coming Alive Experience, or the Coming Alive Movement. And it's about coming alive. So anyone who's in there, like gender, sexuality, doesn't matter. Like this is about coming alive as you fully coming alive. Right. And when it's that kind of umbrella space, open space, what's cool is that I can go in there and talk about sexuality and gender and all these things. And there's going to be people in there that have never really had the opportunity to like explore that because they didn't want to go into the LGBTQ group over here because they're like, I don't want to go in there and then somebody might find out. So we actually need spaces where it's more open and it's not necessarily labeled as queer or LGBTQ. And they come in and it's just an experience together. And then they have these realizations. That's what's been happening with my clients. Like I have, oh my God, it's hilarious. I would say like 80% of my clients identify in the LGBT community and the other 20%, they didn't come to me for sexuality, but then after 3 months, 6 months, eight, they're realizing that they're fluid.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Or they're telling me that they're speaking their truth, that they've had sexual experiences with someone of the same sex, but they never told anybody.
So gave them permission. We all need permission to be fully us.
Yes.
And we are all living in a closet in some way. And, you know, I keep coming out of my closets. I have a really big closet and I just keep coming out every day, right? Now, I know you've got other stuff to do. I would love to have you back on, but I did want to do something. Just how can people get a hold of you? I will put it in the chat part of the thing, you know, the description. How can people get a hold of you? What else do you want to tell them before I ask you five quick questions?
Yeah. So the best way to get a hold of me is on Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is perfect. And it's Kyla Coogan, CyylaCoogan. On Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, pretty much everywhere you can find me, Kyla Coogan. And then you can find me on my website too, which is just Kyla.com, CyylaCoogan.com. But send me a DM. I'm all about like just having like meaningful conversation in Messenger. So feel free to message me in Instagram or Facebook.
And if they go to your Facebook page, they'll be able to find information on the upcoming event Thursday.
Yeah. So they'll see everything on my Instagram, my Facebook. They'll see the Purpose Driven Party. I'm promoting that with the Eventbrite link that's in my bio. So people can register for that. And if they want to get coaching, they can message me about that. So yeah.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, I already know that you're a great coach just from the way you are. So people want to work with you, I'm sure. Okay. So are you ready for a couple quick questions? I've got to put on my
clothes. Let's go.
Idea here. Don't think twice, just answer.
Okay.
If you were to choose one or two favorite kids' games or activities that you either do today or would want to play often, what would they be?
Kids' games, Pogs. I was super into Pogs, or roller skating, which is, I guess that's like any age, but I remember as a kid, I went roller skating at the roller rink.
I thought you were going to say swings. I just want to clarify for the audience. I don't know if you're into swinging or a swinger, but we meant playing on swings in a playground. All right. So if your friends were going to describe you with one word, what would that one word be?
Ooh. The first word that came to mind is ambitious.
I love it. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is your why in five words or less?
Ooh, what is my why? Oh! What's coming through is, oh my, well, the word come alive is what's coming through, is doing what makes me come alive. I don't know if that's five words.
It's six, but that's okay. I'll take it. That's a good one. What is your favorite daily routine?
Ooh, favorite daily routine. Right now I'm really enjoying walking meditations outside with a cup of coffee where I'm not looking at technology. I'm just smelling the flowers, looking at the trees, looking at the sky, just like allowing thoughts to come through, feeling my feet on the ground. Like it's been a really beautiful thing to do every day.
Oh, I love it. And I would encourage everyone out there to listen to Kyla about that. And then the last question, I think that was four. Okay. Right now in your life, what is guaranteed to bring you a huge smile?
Ooh, dancing. Woo-hoo! Music for sure. Like music comes on, doesn't really matter what it is. My body starts going, I got a smile on my face.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here on the Lesbian Love Podcast. I will definitely have you back. Appreciate your time. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Oh, thank you so much, Pamela.
All right. Bye. Sending you off with magical life. Take care.
Oh, it's so good.
All right. I'm going to stop the recording and then we can.
Oh, my.